rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Happy Thursday, as Jill would say. It's Happy Thursday. How are you guys today? Let's check out some temperatures. It's windy, I know that. Currently here at Elk City, it's 70 degrees, 49% humidity, 75 at Arnett, home of the famous Lori Campbell, 77 at Slapout, 75 at Helena, 75 at Hollis, 75 at Hobart. Let's see what's happening just in the 70s out here in western Oklahoma. Let's see what's happening out here in the Texas Panhandle. 77 at Esteline, 76 at Childress, 74 at Miami, 77 at Lipscomb, and 76 at Canadian. I'll have your forecast out here in the Texas Panhandle coming up for you here in the next segment. Let's see how to start. Let me open this email up. I think it's pretty cool. All right, yesterday, as Lieutenant James was saying here a few days ago, the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife High School Scholastic Shotgun Shooting State Championship wrapped up yesterday, and boy howdy, it was a good one. The 2023 Oklahoma Department of Wildlife High School Scholastic Shotgun Shooting Sports State Championship wrapped up yesterday in El Reno at the Oklahoma Trap and Skeet Association Range. The home team won. El Reno High School taking the state title and avenging the runner-up title last year to Merritt. It's been back and forth with those two. El Reno edged out the defending champs Merritt as the Merritt senior team ended up with the runner-up trophy. Teams for this sanctioned shooting contest are made up of 15 high school and or junior high school kids, in which the top 10 scores, which requires three scores of an opposite gender, are counted in the bracket playoff style tournament. Third senior team was Vanas at fourth was Chisholm, fifth was Boise City, local team Sayre, runner-up regional senior team, and Canute were in the final 16 teams to qualify for the state bid. Here we go. Miss Addison Darlin, a freshman from Merritt, is your state champion individual overall and senior divisions female. Wow, she did great. Congratulations, Addison. Great job. Her, along with five others, were in the shoot-off for the top spot, and her perfect shooting gained her the title amongst 1,300 total entries into this statewide contest. Mason Tucker, senior, and Murray State Collegiate commit finished fourth senior male in the huge field of 603 shooters and six overall. Aiden Wood, junior from Sayre, completed in the state shoot number six, senior male and eighth overall. State qualifier Peyton Quinn of Sayre placed 18th in a field of 194 senior females. In the junior division, Sayre eighth graders Jaden Acuna and placed fifth, and teammate Layden Simpson 16th amongst 271 junior male entries. Merritt's junior female Alexis Pletcher placed 8th out of 71. What a great year for Western Oklahoma shooting sports. I'll have more on it later. I got the got kids from Navajo, Woodward, all that were all there, Altus, and I'll have the more scores on that. But these, it was just a real local then. Again, Addison Darlin, freshman from Merritt High School, is your state champion individual overall. What a great job, young lady. I'm proud of you. Anyway, let's check out what's happening right now, or happened overnight, in the ag world. Soybean futures jumped in overnight trading on worries about production in Argentina. Output in the South American country is projected at 27 million metric tons, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture in its report. Not much different what they said last month, but we knew it was coming. That's down from a month earlier. Outlook from 33 million and well below the 43.9 million tons produced a year earlier. Soybean stockpiles in Argentina are expected to drop 18.1 million tons, which compares with last month's forecast of 19.8 million tons. Inventories a year earlier total 23.9 million. Extreme drought for much of the growing season curbed yields in several growing areas. Soybean futures for November delivery rose 11.5 cents to 15.15¾ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up 5.70 to 465.90 a short ton, while soybean oil lost 28 cents to 53.72. Wheat for September delivery fell 5¾ cents to $6.73¾ a bushel in Chicago, while Kansas City futures plunged 11.5 cents to $8.52 a bushel. Corn futures for December delivery rose 1¾ to $6.54¾ a bushel. Weather, extremely red flag warnings are an indicator of extremely dry weather remain in effect for southern Arizona, northeast into northern Michigan. In Oklahoma and Texas panhandles, where hard red winter wheat is growing, a red flag warning is in effect till 9 o'clock tonight, with the same winds from 20 to 30 with gusts up to 45 expected. Humidity will drop as low as 13%. I think that's one of the reasons why they're not putting one out for us today, our humidity staying up in the 40s and 50s. But you just need to be careful out there, no matter where you are in the Texas panhandle, Oklahoma panhandle, or western Oklahoma. Just be careful. In eastern Iowa and southern Wisconsin, winds today will gust up to 30, and humidity will fall down to 21%, which is pretty low for those people up there. In northern Michigan, the winds will be sustained 15 to 25 with gusts up to 30, humidity 18 to 23. Any fires that develop will spread rapidly. All right, let's see what our current market is right now. Let me update data real quick. There we go. Corn for May, 654, still in the red today. July, 627. September, 561. Soybeans for May, even actually right now, 1504. July is 1475, up 3.5. August is 1425, up 4.5. Soybean meal for May, 463.20, up 3. July is 460.50, up 3, 31, basically 310. Soybean oil for May, 53.86. It's in the red, about 14. Yep. And then July is 54, down 16 pennies. Hard red winter wheat's down 15 today. It's at 848 for May, 833 for July. Oats are also down, May 335 and July 330. Down here in the cotton department, it's back down below 83 cents. Both May and July are at 82 cents a pound. When I come back from this Oklahoma Farm Bureau, Happy Cap Hour, brought to you by the Roger Mills Farm Bureau, County Farm Bureau. I'll have more on that. We'll talk a little bit about livestock and continue on. We got a great show in for today.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day? That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
We actually close our loans in-house, so we don't rely on an outside source to actually close or handle any of the signing of our documents. Most importantly, when dealing with a local bank, you're dealing with local people that are familiar with the area that you can always pick up the phone and call. We take pride in making sure we always return a phone call. Getting back in touch with the person over a phone call is very important to us. I'm Joe Shepherd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
If you ask me, now's the perfect time to plan an epic summer, when we still have a couple months and there are epic deals at Kohl's. I got myself some cute tees for under 10 bucks each, sandals for everyone in my family at just 20 bucks each, and outdoor patio essentials for 50% off. Plus, I earned Kohl's cash. These deals won't last long, though. So if you want to stock up and save before summer's even here, you know where to go. Select styles. Offers end April 16th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed and corn, forage sorghum, and Milo. Advanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Advanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Advanta Seeds. The future begins with the seed.
It was 30 years old. A gentleman brought in a 30-year-old ratchet that quit working, and they replaced it. No questions asked. 30 years old, and they replaced it, just like that. Napa Auto Parts offers a lifetime warranty on all their tools. They stand behind their products, and they take care of the people who buy them.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with Hi-Pro. For Hi-Pro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done. Every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back to this from that Oklahoma Farm Bureau break. Currently out here in Wellington, Texas, it is 75 degrees, humidity's 36, dew points at 46. The winds are out of the south at 13 miles an hour with gusts up to 16, peak wind gusts today. So far, 23 miles per hour. No month-to-date precipitation, no red flag minutes today, no sub-freezing minutes today. Ambient soil temperature in Wellington, Texas is 66 degrees. As Oklahoma's largest general farm organization with members in all 77 counties represented by 77 county farm bureaus, our work efforts span all of agriculture as we work to ensure our state's farmers and ranchers can focus on what they do best, growing and raising the most affordable, safe, and abundant food in the world. You can easily join Roger Mills Farm Bureau by going by their office in Cheyenne. Memberships are $37.50 a year. Cheap for what you get, I promise you. And come with many benefits like insurance, life insurance, free roadside assistance, and discounts with various businesses. 580-497-2579. 497-2579. Or go to OklahomaFarmBureau.org. To join a great organization. I know I'm a member. So anyway, you guys join up, and thanks for sponsoring the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Cap Hour today. Okay, let's see what's happening with livestock right now. It's kind of green and red through here. Not bad. It still looks pretty good. Live cattle for April, 175.97. June, 165.32. August, 163.87. And October is 167.40. And feeder cattle, come on up. There you go. April is 203. May is 209.7. August is 226.40. September is 230 even. October is 232.25. And November is 233.05. And looking into next year, January of 2024, 231.25. And there is your feeder update. Let's see, go back here to lean hogs real quick. Lean hogs for April, 71.65. May is 80.47. June is 86.47. Results yesterday real quick from Hobart. Let me get it up. I saved it on my phone. Come on. There we go. Open up there. All right. Steers in the 3-4 range. High end was 280, average 271.66. 4-5 range, 270. 224.68 was the average range. 5-6 weights, 232.50 was the high end, and 231 even was the high end on 6-7 ranges. On the heifers, let's see here, 4-5s, 220. 5-6, 207. 6-7s, 179. 7-8s, 176. All right, we got some cows. I think these slaughter cows we're bringing up to 103.50. Pairs we're bringing up to $2,000. And slaughter bulls were bringing up to 124. That was there in big town of Hobart, capital of Kiowa County. All right, I got a, if I can find it. Oh, yeah, go there. There we go. Oh, where did it go? There we go. Sales for combine harvesters maintained consistent growth in March. We talked about this last month. While overall sales for tractors continue to slide, according to the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, the AEM, the AIM. The March tractor and combine report is a mixed bag with an overall decline in tractor sales due to softness in the small tractor market, says Kurt Blake, the senior vice president at AIM. At the same time, the segments are still showing growth or are the higher dollar segments of the four-wheel drive tractors and combine harvesters. Indicating commodity markets for ag products are still strong enough for large operations to justify the investment. Tractor sales. Total tractor sales for farms in March of this year, 21,586. That's down 12% from 2022, where they sold 24,500 tractors. Year to date, AIM reports 49,443 total tractor farms were sold as of March this year, and that's down 9,000 from last year. Tractor sales are broken down by horsepower range. Sales for two-wheel drive sub 40 horsepower tractors in March were down 14% from 2022, with 14,500 sales this year compared to almost 17,000 last year. Sales for two-wheel drive 40 to 100 horsepower tractors in March were down 11.8% with 4,755 sales this year compared to almost 5,400 last year. Sales for two-wheel drive 100 horse plus was down 6.1% in March with 1,857 sales this year compared to 1,978 last year. Sales for four-wheel drive tractors were up 106% in March with 414 sales this year and 201 last year. So it's doubled, basically doubled. Year to date, AIM reports 898 tractors have been sold in this category. That's up 50.7% from 596 the same time last year. Sales for self-propelled combines were up again in March, 47%, with 509 sales this year compared to 346 last year. Year to date, 1,500 combines have been sold as of March, up 100%, 101 to be exact, from 751 units last year. Somebody spending some money on some combines out there. I haven't seen any rolling around here. I'm not sure. I hope we do, but they, yeah, somebody's spending some. I mean, those combines, $750 million. Get you a couple of them, put them in the barn. It's a new reason to build a barn. Buy two new combines, and then your wife will really want you to protect them investments. So get you a big barn put up so you can park them in there. When we come back from this Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, I'll have some more about row cropping, cotton, and I've got an article in here from President Biden and the WOTUS deal. I guess the judge ruled on basically shut her down for now. So anyway, I got that coming up. I'm always a big fan of what's going on with WOTUS as long as it's in our favor. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
You've heard the old saying, April showers bring May flyers. But have you heard about the great deals going on at DJ's Rentals in Elk City? During the month of April, purchase a new Hustler Raptor Series mower and get a rebate from $200 up to $350. Or purchase a new Spartan RZ or RZC mower and get a $500 rebate. DJ's Rentals and Sales is sharing their customers with these savings only during the month of April. So you better hustle.
The biggest mistake I've seen when people are purchasing insurance or coming in to visit with us is being underinsured. You know, the state minimum on auto insurance is $25,000, $50,000, and that's too low. I mean, if you run into somebody's new vehicle and it costs $50,000 and you only have $25,000 in coverage, that's going to come out of your pocket. So, you know, we try to make sure that our customers are insured how they need to be to get the coverage. I mean, if you're going to have insurance, you need to have it for the right reasons, and that's to protect themselves. I mean, that's why they have it. I'm really in the business of protecting the customer. When it comes to protection, it's not a large amount more to go ahead and get the coverage you need.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Only one show on the radio makes me shimmy, and that's Today in Ag with my friend Jimmy. A good morning to all the Jimmy stewards of the land. This is your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, April 10th, and I'm Drew Cobb. 675 head were sold, 9 head of steers at 582 brought 224, 5 at 630 brought 203, 34 at 661 brought 215, 19 at 744.
45, brought 203, 50. 101 at 781, brought 201. 10 at 819, brought 196. 23 at 923, brought 181. 7 head of heifers at 456, brought 227. 6 at 499, brought 224. 7 at 594, brought 200. 18 at 616, brought 194. 26 at 680, brought 183, 50. 13 at 754, brought 178, 50. 62 at 852, brought 182, 35. Butcher cows were 75 to 113. Butcher bulls brought 86 to 141. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71. Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. I'm talking about a 580-497-6095.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Oh, Drew, he's a funny guy. Oh, what happened to my mezzanette here? Here we go. All right, I've picked the huge metro area of Camargo. Is your northwestern Oklahoma and northeastern Texas panhandle forecast. Currently, it's 73 degrees at Camargo, 48 degrees dew point, 42% humidity, no rainfall in the last 12 hours. I guess their wind gadget, Gabe gadget stuff must be down because it's no wind. So I know the wind's blowing in Camargo. Anyway, sunrise at 7:09, sunset at 8:08. Today, breezy, 83 degrees, south wind 21 to 23 with wind gust up to 40. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, south winds 14 to 20 with wind gust up to 30, 87 for a high. Saturday, a little cooler, the cold front comes through. High of 67 and breezy with northwest winds 22 to 25 miles an hour. Sunday, sunny, light winds out of the northwest, 72 degrees. And then sometime Sunday night, the wind switches from the northwest to the west to the south, and it clears up with a 43 for low. And Monday looks gorgeous. Low winds, not no winds, I said low winds. Mostly sunny and 84 degrees, and that's your forecast for Camargo. All right, I found that deal, and I just lost it again. Where'd it go? On President Biden. Yeah, there it is. All right, so you guys listen to this for a second. Bear with me here.
By Chuck Abbott. Less than 4 months ago, the Biden administration.
Well, bear with me. That didn't work. Sorry. There it goes. Anyway, it's too late. Less than 4 months ago, the Biden administration unveiled a durable definition of the upstream reach of the clean water laws across the country, a so-called Waters of the United States, the WOTUS regulation. With a ruling on Wednesday, federal judges have enjoyed implication of the rule in 26 of the 50 states that will hear lawsuits devoid the regulation. U.S. District Judge Daniel Hovland issued a preliminary injunction against use of the new WOTUS rule yesterday in 24 states, from Florida to Alaska on Wednesday. Hovland, based in Bismarck, North Dakota, said there were numerous statutory and constitutional issues with the regulation. District Judge Jeffrey Brown, sitting in Galveston, Texas, issued a similar order in late March that covered Idaho and Texas. There's 26 states already. Opponents of the rule said that administration should admit defeat. With the new WOTUS rule on hold in more than half the country, EPA and the Army Corps engineers should do the right thing, listen to our concerns, and rewrite the rule. Zippy Duval, president of the American Farm Bureau Federation, and said on social media, the Farm Bureau is a lead plaintiff in the Texas lawsuit against WOTUS. Cattle producers in 26 states now have some additional certainty while this rule is being litigated. And we are optimistic the Supreme Court will provide nationwide clarity on the federal government's proper jurisdiction over water. They were supposed to have this done last month or February, and it's taken a while, so it's probably they were going to get it right. As I said, clarity on the federal government's proper jurisdiction over water, said Todd Wilkinson, president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. The Supreme Court is expected to rule soon on the Idaho case that would restrict federal protection of wetlands to territory with surface connection to waterways. The Supreme Court ruled in 2006 that wetlands were a significant nexus to navigable waters were covered by water pollution rights. The Biden administration said in a rule which employed the significant nexus standard covered was what intended by Congress when it wrote the 1972 Clean Water Act. The Trump administration wrote a WOTUS rule with much narrower focus. It was overturned in federal court in 2021. The Obama administration proposed a WOTUS rule in 2015. It was immediately challenged in court and never took effect. So basically what they ought to do is just leave stuff alone. They're not getting nowhere but costing a bunch of taxpayers a bunch of money fighting all this crap. North Dakota Senator John Hoeven, who voted to overturn WOTUS, said he would continue working to provide regulatory relief and prevent President Joe Biden from advancing his harmful and costly Green Deal, New Deal agenda. There we go. That's your update on WOTUS from me this week. All right, let's see what time here we got. I've got all kinds of going on here. I want to find out. Okay. So how frequently do farmers test soil? Soil testing is in some form is considered important to just about every farmer. And I'll be honest with you, since start row cropping last year, I'm not doing it. I'm having people help me do it. I've soil tested more in the last year than I have in the last 5 years. Just about, it's important to every farmer, regardless of the farm size or experience, according to one of the latest farmer surveys conducted by Ag Access. But why, how, and often farmer soil test depends on a few factors. All the farmers surveyed, about one-third, believe in soil testing at least annually, while over half, 59%, found it important to test only once every few years. Only 3% of the farmers surveyed said they never tested their soil, indicating nearly all farmers found soil testing important in some way, one way or the other. Beginning farmers, 1 to 9 years of farming experience, have the highest responses for soil testing, showing the largest response rate, 14%, for soil testing multiple times throughout the year. This suggests that beginning or young farmers may be the most frequent soil testers. Farmers with slightly more experience, 10 to 19 years of farming experience, tended to score the highest percentage in responses over many other age brackets, suggesting the mixture of being new to farming with some experience made for farming more likely consistent to test their soil. Data suggests that mid-sized farmers were the most likely to test their soil frequently, overlapping with years of experience. Mid to larger mega-sized farmer responses with at least 5,000 acres of production. That's not in that one. Suggested that they were a group to soil test their cropland the most often. Smaller crop farmers, less than 1,000 acres, no doubt due to a lesser need to test different portions of cropland, had the highest percentage response, indicating they soil tested the least often. Farmers with both cropland and pasture were shown to be the most likely to test their soil more frequently. However, large livestock farmers or operations with at least half a century of business experience were the most likely to want to test pasture land over cropland or do not test cropland at all. I don't get that. All right. Anyway, finding pasture the most important type of soil to test. Mid-sized farmer responses showed they were the least likely to test their soil, while small livestock farmers, less than 1,000 acres, had the highest response rates of testing multiple times a year. You know what I see going on in this deal? These people calling around for these surveys, were annoying these older farmers while they were on their phone or had their auto steer and had their iPad in there watching Gunsmoke or something. And these people that call and doing these surveys was annoying some of these grumpy old farmers out there watching Gunsmoke or something like that, Bonanza. So they just gave them whatever answer they want. Because I don't see that. I see a lot of farmers. I know the older generation farmers probably don't soil test as often as they should or want to, but I'm sure these guys have been out of college for 10, 15, 20 years. They soil test a lot because you're wasting today's fertilizer costs. You're wasting a lot of money putting too much guessing your game out there. Well, there's a lot going on this weekend. Before I go to my last break for the day, I want to tell you about the Cowboy Trade Show and Tax Swap coming up this Saturday, April 15th, from noon to 7 at the Clinton Roundup Club Arena there in Clinton, Oklahoma, in conjunction with that Spring Arena Sorting Buckle Series final. I think this is the last one. Bit and spur makers, saddle makers, new and used tack dealers, and Western artists are all welcome. I'm betting money that I hear that Kenny Reed will be over there. If you follow Kenny Reed on Facebook, he's like a junk dealer. He's like the Stanford son with his cattle stuff, these horse bits and all this stuff. He's got it going on. He's got some pretty cool stuff. Anyway, you need more information, call Travis at 405-361-3523. Also coming up this weekend, April 15th, is the Ouachita County Cattlemen's Association annual meeting. It'll be at 6 o'clock Saturday there at 12010 North 2260 Road in New Cordell, Oklahoma. Live concert, cornhole, cards, dominoes, bring a lawn chair. That's coming up at 6 o'clock. And also, what else we got going on here? Tomorrow, the Grady County Banquet at Chickasha, the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association at the Grady County Fairgrounds, starts at 6 o'clock. Steve Carson from Senator Lankford's office is the keynote speaker. Saturday, Tri-County Cattlemen's Banquet, Cotton, Comanche, and Tillman County at the Frederick Technology Center. Speaker is Mariah Reamer from the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association Foundation. Let's take it. Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Cap Hour break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. When we come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
How about a howdy doody to Jimmy's great stewards of the land? Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, April 7th. 1,642 head were sold. 11 head of steers at 392 brought 242. 4 at 470 brought 244. 12 at 506 brought 236. 6 at 558 brought 223. At 632 brought 219. 6 at 666 brought 185. 3 at 703 brought 204. 8 head of heifers at 451 brought 232. 7 at 456 brought 222. 4 at 520 brought 206. 6 at 553 brought 205. 3 at 683 brought 184. 11 at 688 brought 180.50. 6 at 748 brought 170. Butcher cows were 62 to 110. Butcher bulls brought 69 to 126. Bred cows were 850 to 1800. Pairs brought 1350 to 3050. Elk City Livestock Auction Boy 3202. South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call old Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. That's a 580-497-6095.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache hay wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Your tractor has a flat tire out in the field, or you're on a construction site and your truck tire's flat. So you call down to Blair. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They come to you. Blair Tire and Feed has 8 people who work like dogs to take care of you. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. They're at the corner of Highway 283 and 19. For on-site tire service, call 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around western Oklahoma. So the other side of our business is we fuel fracks. We have an automated system that we fuel fracks. We go through so much volume of diesel that we get a good price on it. It's just like anything. The more you buy, the cheaper the price. So we buy so much volume that we get a better price, and we're allowed to move that over to the ranchers and farmers. Our whole thought process was, you know, we're making money with this. Let's start fueling some farmers and move that price break over to them. Yes, price is the first thing, but reliability, knowing that when you call and ask someone to show up, they show up, do what they say. I really am prideful about doing what I say. I want to always be there. I want people to call me and know that I'm going to show up and do what I say.
My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back from that Oklahoma Farm Bureau break. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you. I've picked the big city of Reed, Oklahoma. If a lot of you people don't know where Reed's at, it's a little bit west of Mangum, southwest of Willow, northeast of Hollis. It's out there in the boonies. It's out there in the breaks is where it is. Anyway, I get people, why don't you ever talk about Reed? Here it is. They got their own, no, they don't have their own mezzanette center, but I got the nearest mezzanette center I could for you. 76 degrees right now at Reed. Dew point's 51. Humidity's 41. Rainfall in the last 24 hours, zero. Wind is out of the south at 14 miles an hour with wind gust up to 21. Sunrise at 7:10, sunset at 8:08. Today, sunny, 82. Tomorrow, very sunny in 88. How do you get very sunny? It's either sunny or it's not. But anyway, it says very sunny. 88 degrees, south winds 13 to 21 with gust up to 30. Saturday, 72. Breezy out of the north, 17 to 21 miles an hour. Sunday, sunny, 73. North winds 9 to 12 miles an hour. Monday, mostly sunny and 84. The heat returns, 10 degrees difference. There is your forecast for Reed, Oklahoma. Okay, here we go. I got, what did I want to go? Where did I want to go? Oh, I got this report from Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. Let's talk about this a little bit. Texas row crop farmers in large swaths of the state facing a suite of problems related to Mother Nature, according to Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service experts. While all problems relate to the lack of rainfall over the past 2 years, concerns are compounding as the summer season begins. The U.S. Drought Monitor shows 81% of the state still experiencing some level of drought compared to 95% this time last year. Drought continues in the plains, the Panhandle, Central, and Southwest Texas, with dozens of counties experiencing severe to exceptional drought that's putting the summer crop season in jeopardy after widespread failures in 2022. I can feel your pain. AgriLife Extension agronomist Jordan Bell, she was on here a while back on the show, PhD, Amarillo, Calvin Throssell, Ph.D. Lubbock, and Regan Nolan, Ph.D. San Angelo, said the 23 cropping season is off to a very poor start due to poor moisture and weather conditions, including high winds and above average temperatures. Continues could change with rainfall, but the poor planting conditions have producers waiting for moisture and weighing for their crop options. In 2022, cotton in the central and southwestern parts of the state failed due to the drought, but wheat cover and grain crops that followed caught decent rains in October and November, Nolan said. Wheat fields got off to a good start, but conditions since then have severely stressed many fields. Nolan said his region has been very dry, but said he's heard much worse conditions further west and north into the Permian Basin and the plains. Throssell said normal rainfall amounts of the calendar year up to April 8 are 2.7 inches in his region, but the Lubbock area has only received 3/4 of an inch so far this year. Lots of farmers have planted sorghum. You would have planted sorghum by now and are going to plant, but if it doesn't rain, they're on the fence about whether to plant cotton or something else. I'd say stay on that fence if I was you. This season is uncertain, and they may making last-minute planting decisions based on forecast and local conditions. Lack of top moisture to germinate seeds and establish plants is holding up planting in the drought-stricken areas. The window of time frames is getting very narrow now. Plant variety and location, average climate. Nola said the window for planting grain sorghum is open now, but because would put crops in the flowering stage in the heat of the summer. So you got to be careful what you plant right now. You don't want things to be pollinating in July. That'd be the worst time. So anyway, Dr. Bell, that I had on the show here last month, said timely rains have turned the tide into the farmer's favor, would turn the tide into the farmer's favor following drought-ridden seasons in the past. But the lack of soil moisture is presenting other secondary problems, including declining irrigation capacity and soil erosion. Soil erosion is an issue in fields where cover crops failed to establish or were blown out by high winds. Nolan said that local farmers were frustrated that fields tilled and bedded in December and January and ready to plant were losing all of its soil because of sustained winds of 40 miles an hour. Dr. Bell said there have been several days of 60-mile-an-hour winds with 70-mile-an-hour wind gusts. Declining irrigation capacity is another major concern for producers in drier parts of the state. Irrigation supplements rainfall for crops. Applied water can help crops that start or hang on, allow plants to progress between rains. But irrigation is not meant to bring a crop up and push it to harvest. For instance, many irrigated cotton fields in Nolan's area failed last year despite water applications. Water is pumped from the Edward Aquifer in his region, while the Ulagal Aquifer provides water to fields in the high plains. These groundwater sources provide water to homes, commercial properties as well, and agriculture in their respective regions. There is currently more water being pumped out that's going back in via recharge zones. The areas of water through the water table need to refill that aquifer. Groundwater recharge occurs relatively quickly for the Edwards Aquifer, but heavy rains have been minimal over many years. Nolan said about that. Trussell said the Ulagal recharges at a much slower pace and water levels will likely never exceed what is pumped each year. There have been many years like that with widespread rains can change that situation. There will be have to have a change with a good start because of irrigation. That's what's happening out there in the Texas Panhandle for my Texas listeners out there. What else we got going on today? We got a whole 7 minutes left. We can there's lots to do there. Here's an update on the burn ban in Oklahoma. I don't have it up for Texas yet. There's actually 11 counties in Oklahoma. Most of them out here, all but one out here in our area. Harmon County in southwestern Oklahoma is the only county down that area that's got a burn ban. Dewey, Blaine, Kingfisher, Logan, Major, Alfalfa, and Grant, all those counties combined together right there, you are under a burn ban. And Texas and Cimarron out in the Oklahoma Panhandle, you're under a burn ban. And guess what? That's where the big higher fire danger is today. So that's the only areas that's got a burn ban currently in Oklahoma. This dry weather keeps going. It's going to get ugly. Short story for you here. Colorado passes first U.S. right to repair legislation for farmers. Colorado farmers will be able to legally fix their own equipment next year, with manufacturers including Deere and Company obliged to provide with them manuals for diagnostic software and other aids under a measure passed by the legislatures in the first U.S. state to approve such a law. The Consumer Right to Repair Agriculture Equipment Act passed 46-14 in Colorado's Senate late on Tuesday after winning approval in the State House of Representatives in February. The bill garnered bipartisan support as farmers grew increasingly frustrated with costly repairs and inflated input prices denting their profits. Colorado Governor Jared Polis has 10 days to sign the bill into law and is expected to do so. So there we go. First one, Colorado, first state to pass that. What else we got going on here? Climate change threatens portion of the U.S. cropland. 3 of every 10 acres of U.S. corn and winter wheat are under increased threat as climate change boosts temperature and makes rainfall more erratic in the Midwest and Plains, with new report on Tuesday commissioned by the American Farmland Trust. The report said the 23 farm bills should be embraced climate change and provide money to help farmers adapt to global warming. Wish I did a live call-in. I'd like to get some weigh-in from people out here in this area, what they think about. I realize climate change happens, but global warming, all this other stuff, I'm not sure about that yet. I know we are having a weather pattern change here in western Oklahoma and the eastern Texas Panhandle, where the droughts used to happen every 10 years, and it seemed like there's ever 3 to 4. But I was listening to a report from the Oklahoma Mesonet yesterday, and Gary McManus, state climatologist, was talking about, you know, when he was on here last month, he said that, you know, the La Nina is giving up in the ocean, but not necessarily up in the atmosphere. So it might take 2 years to change what's going on up in the atmosphere, he said. But he did say that this year could be more of a above temperatures in the above normal temperatures here in western Oklahoma this summer, so that's not too bueno. And then I noticed they posted on the Mesonet this morning that this has been the driest January 1st to April 1st recorded since 1895 for out here in the western Oklahoma, especially northwestern Oklahoma up there in the Panhandle and around Woodward in that area, is the driest year on record since 1895. This report says if greenhouse gas emissions continue to rise rapidly, 31% of corn and 30% of wheatland face adverse changes in growing conditions by the year 2040. On a high emissions trajectory, only 33% of corn acres in 2024 are likely to remain highly productive in current management practices. See, they covered themselves with that. Over 80% of the cropland in 48 contiguous states relies on timely rainfall to produce crops. With rising temperatures and shifting rainfall patterns, the crops and businesses supported by the rain-fed crops are increasingly at risk, said the report. Future crop production will likely fa- face more frequent extreme weather events like destructive winds, hail, frost damage, droughts, and extended heat waves and torrential downpours, as well as increased damage due to crop pest and disease. How about that? Practices like planting cover crops, adopting zero or reduced tillage, and diversifying your crop rotations can improve the soil's physical and biological functions and its ability to sequester carbon. Okay, there we go. Hey, you guys have a great day. Jill be in here tomorrow with me. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.